Okay, is this on? Okay, very good. All right. First of all, just a big thank you to all of you. A big heartfelt thank you to each one of you for your love and your care and your support for us. I mean that from our heart. Charity and I and Michaela and Baby on the Way, we're just really grateful. So thank you all for the many ways you've reached out to us, providing a car, a house, groceries. You have went up and beyond in how I see it. So we just want to thank you for all that. You have been a very supportive church. This morning, I plan to start with a presentation, and after this presentation, then I plan to have my wife come up, and we will share a song in the Myanmar language. And then, following that, will be just a mini message then that I have prepared. So, with that in mind, I would like to start with our presentation, and I should also make mention that out here in the main auditorium, the cafeteria area, after the service, my wife will have special Myanmar tea and some lepet do. I don't know if you've ever heard of lepet do, but it's something unique to Myanmar, and you can taste a little bit of that. Get a taste of Myanmar there. So help yourself to that afterward. I wanted to make sure and bring plenty of it back. So there is plenty, so help yourself. They're small cups, but they can be refilled. So yeah, just keep that in mind. All right, so the Myanmar presentation here. Let's see. There we go. So Myanmar, the countries that border Myanmar are Bangladesh, India, China, Laos, and Thailand. And before it was Myanmar, the name long ago used to be Burma, but because of the different ethnicities, it favored the Bama people, and they wanted to get away from that, so they changed the name to Myanmar. So to include more people groups. Right here, you can see in the Yangon area, that's the most people per square mile, and that's where we lived. Right here, the religion in Myanmar is primarily Buddhist, and that is about 88%. And then this here is Christian. That is 6.2%. And of the Christians, it's mainly Anglican and Baptist. So there's, we're the only Anabaptist, you know, presence there, so, that we know of. There might be a few others. Right here, that shows the different ethnicities, the different people groups in Myanmar. As you can see here, the purple, that is primarily Burman, the Burman people group. That's the largest group. And then another large one is the Shan, the light blue. I'm not sure that pointer isn't working too well. And then we also have the yellow there, the Chin, the red up top, the Kachin. And then the light purple to the left is the Rakhine. And as most of you know, a lot of the Rakhine were forced out of the country into neighboring Bangladesh. And then down here a little bit is some orange along here. That's the Karen people group. So primarily it's Bama, but there's also many others. Okay, here we are on our way to Myanmar. About 14 months ago, maybe closer to 15 months ago. That was us heading over across the world. And there's our welcoming party. Levon and girls were there to greet us at midnight. And the next day, first things first, start working on the house. So there was a lot of work that needed to be done. We had no idea. So I think the plan was to move in like that, but we got to looking at it, and we were like, no way. So that's what we started in on, busily painting. So yeah, Levon helped us out some with the house, securing our gate. So here's a before. I guess we had done some work on it at this time, but this is the before and then the after. So it did improve somewhat. That was 2 weeks of really hard work, the first 2 weeks that we were there. In that time, we also did a little bit of language learning. We studied some of the Myanmar alphabet during that time as well. Levon's had a Christmas supper for the organization called FLA, which stands for Financial Literacy Association. And that's basically the NGO that Levon got started over there in Myanmar. And that's, we use that NGO as a platform for our visas. And also savings groups. So here's the company supper. Playtime. Yeah, those girls really had fun together. They enjoyed their time. Michaela's mentioned, I want to go back and play with Levon's girls. And we say, well, we can do that. But then, you know, you're going to have to say bye-bye to Papa and Grandma and all them. And, well, I want both. So she misses a lot of people. Depends on which side we're on, she misses the other side. So, okay, and here's language. It's a little difficult to see it, but whoops. Here. So it's basically the alphabet goes like this, and this is how you pronounce it. So starting with the first one, ga, ka, ga, ga, nga, sa, sa, za, za, nya, ta, ta, da, da, na, da, ta, da, da, na, ba, pa, ba, ba, ma, ya, ra, or ya, la, wa, da, ha, la, ah. So that's the alphabet. For each one of these, the first one here, ga, so you pronounce it ga, but the full name is gaji. So just like we would say a, that is gaji. But then we pronounce a as a. And so here we pronounce gaji as ga. So it's the same idea. So you start in learning how to pronounce the consonants. So it's gaji, kakwe, gange, gaji, nga, salon, salens. Anyway, it keeps on going. And then here, the language has 33 consonants, 12 vowels, and in all of that, there's four distinct tones, like four different tones that you use, and then nine consonant clusters, like similar to our like ch, ch, ch sound, or ssh, sh sound, or th, you know. That they have nine consonant clusters. So you throw all that in the mix, it makes for a very difficult language to learn. So here's formal class. You're just one-on-one with a teacher, and they just walk you through, you know. So you're given a whole list of vocabulary to go through every day. And, gall, gaude, you know, kaude, salde, you know, and just go down through, you know, and you just repeat. And and then they match it up with pictures, and you're supposed to remember all that. So, okay. So language was our primary focus this past year. That's primarily what Charity and I were doing. So before COVID hit, we had a visa, we had to do a visa run, and we made a run to Malaysia, and that was an enjoyable time. We met up with some friends there, and our very own Wynn Hostetler stopped by for a visit. That was a lot of fun. Here are some men working around our house. There was often men who would come looking for work because they were out of work. They didn't have any money to pay their rent or whatever. And so they would come and they'd want to work. And so, you know, we there was always weeds to pull and whatever else. So for a few of them, we let them work. Not everyone who came to our door, we had work. We didn't have work for everyone, but a few. So this is a typical hut that you would see out in a village. So if you go outside the city, this is what you'd see. The wealthy live more in the cities, not as much in the villages. And you often see their houses being concrete and gated. It's a gated, it's all gated off. It's all secured. And then here are some apartment buildings downtown. Here you can see a road is blocked because of COVID. And this they call a squatter house. And this house actually went up right across our road. So I took that picture from our driveway. And they spent about 2 weeks building this house. And so what happens is these people just go around and look for land that's open. And then they just put up a structure until the owner kicks them off their land. So as long as the owner lets them there, they stay. And when the owner kicks them off, then they leave. So this one only lasted about 2 weeks. They put up the structure. They lived there for about 2 weeks. And then they were told to leave. So they had to dismantle everything and move. And I was talking to the man, and he was crying. And yeah, it's a tough situation. So, and here's Market. Yeah, it takes about a year to get used to a place like that. So, but Market was fun. Okay, and here another special guest. As you can see, Martha, and her daughter Marlene came for a visit. LaVon's mother, as most all of us know. Okay, and there is my class that's the English class that I taught at Uwama English Center. That's the place. I was under them. We had to go with them as a platform for our visas, and so I worked there at the English Center. Here we're hosting my students for a chicken barbecue. And every Sunday, my family would go for a motorbike ride, and that is until our motorbike got stolen. So, yeah. Okay, mango season, yum, very delicious. Coconut. Okay, here is our neighbor Nang Lin, and he owned this food stand just down the road from where we lived, and you can barely see it here, but he sold some, I don't know, it's similar to, if anyone has been to Canada, like a bannock kind of bread, like a little round bannock type bread that he sold, and then also he had like a doughy pocket of fried bean, and I'm not sure what all. It was really good. We often would, and it was very cheap, so we would often buy from him, and we were in communication with him a lot, and someone who we've been praying for. So this is a kind of food that's upper class, you know, more, you know, your exotic kind of food. And this here is more your traditional kind of food. there I'm having a meal with my good friend Aung Ji. And here we have a team outing. Found a beautiful spot beside the road to have lunch. And homework, lots of homework. We spent countless hours around that table in the books, learning the language. And power outages, that was a regular occurrence. Happened many times throughout the day. You could not have a schedule or a routine because, you know, if Charity would plan out her day and say, I want to wash my clothes at this time, well, you know, the power might be out, or maybe the water got turned off, you know. And so we were constantly having that battle of, you know, having enough water and enough electric to take showers or to cook food or to wash clothes. And so just you have to be very, very flexible. That's the office, the FLA office. And here, some refugees came to this part of Yangon. And here is the very beginnings of building a village. They started to build a village here. A story behind this, but I'll save that for another time. Here we have a retreat in the capital of Myanmar. Naypyidaw. And yeah, we went to the parks a lot before COVID hit. And parks were a great place to meet people. You know, many of them would bring their children to the parks. You know, Michaela would engage with their in play with their children, and then we could interact with the parents, you know, and that was just a great place to make contacts with people. But then with COVID, you know, they shut everything down. No more parks. So that was sad. Okay, and here is KP. Oh, man. I'll be sharing a little bit more later. Yeah, a lot of really good memories with this guy. Okay. He worked in a watch shop. This is the morning before we were, the day that we flew back, the day that we flew out of Myanmar to fly home, this is the morning I stopped by his watch shop, and I to say goodbye, and as you can see here, every time I look at that, it impacts me. Like, he was very, very sad to see me leave. Yeah, I'm really missing that guy. Neighborhood Relief Project, many of you helped out with that. That was a huge project that we took on, and many people were blessed by it. As you can see, we traded out our motorbike for just a pedal bike, but this was no ordinary pedal bike. I mean, this was the envy of the neighborhood. It was like a Cadillac type of bike to them in their eyes. Yeah, it was only 75,000 jot, which would be about equivalent to about $50, I think, in USD, somewhere close to that. Here's Levon giving a presentation to a popsicle man. He's giving a savings group presentation there. And ZT. Yeah, he liked to play with our children. Momo, another story behind this, but for the sake of time, we'll skip over that story. Here you can see her wrist is hurting, and so Charity is helping her out with that. Yeah, and here are the children. I don't know if you can see, probably not from where you're sitting, but you know, a lot of them have Thenica on their face, and they smear it all over their face. It's kind of like their makeup. It's to make them look beautiful, and so they have a bunch of, you know, you often see that they have Thenica smeared over their face. Back here, Momo, you can see she has it on her face there. and the Lice of Chicago. That's that was a little over a month ago. So that was just a very, very quick snapshot of our time over there. There is so much I left out and so many stories, but for the sake of time, I cut out, 98%, Okay, so if my wife and daughter can come up, and we will sing a song, attempt to sing a Burmese song for you all. it's, after being away from the language for a month and a half, you kind of get rusty. And so, bear with us. We might mess up a few times. So, count your blessings. Name them one by one. And we'll sing the first and last verse for you. Mieji poma doka sin ye yao doka. Mialin chin gin seit yet chin go can ra yin. Ken sa ya gaun chi ming a la ye twepa. Buda muda jesu to and to lane me. Gaun ji diku now diku ye twet. Buda muda da jesu to ye twet. Gaun ji ye twet. Diku now diku. Buda muda jesu to and to lane me. Sin ye do ka myo myo go ken ya tha ka. Seit ma pyete go ro go da a go pa. Ken sa ya gyan chi minga la ye dwe pa. Len so tang gyan ten go sound ma bo sound me. Gaun ji diku now diku ye dwet. Buda muda jesu do ye dwet. Gaun ji ye dwet. Diku now diku. Buda muda jesu do and do lane me. Okay. Okay, well, we made it through. All right, I wasn't sure if I was going to do this in the presentation. Maybe I'll, for the sake of time, wait until later. If you come out here to get some lepeto, and you want to see how it's done, you can ask me. But the men over there, what they wear is called longis, and the women wear tamain skirts, and men wear pasos. Okay, so they wear paso skirts. So I was going to demonstrate that for you all, but if you want to see it, ask me. All right. Okay. Yes, I prepared a little message here. A message here on just an experience that I had over in Myanmar, and something that a good friend of mine taught me about Father God's love. And I just appreciate what was shared this morning on the Father, on the love of God, and it just fits so perfectly. And how our lives are to display that to others. It fits so perfectly with what I'm going to share with you here. And I'm taking it from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, a very familiar passage to all of us. And very, we all know it. But something that just really brought this home for me in my personal life over in Myanmar was through my interactions with KP. And so this morning, I would like to deliver a message testimony combo. So it's a package deal here. If you'll recall, before we left for Southeast Asia, I preached a message entitled Devoted to God and Ready for Mission. And I don't know who all remembers that message. But the passage that I used was that all-familiar one of the greatest commandments to love the Lord thy God and to love thy neighbor. First, we must understand our position of who we are in Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, as was talked about last Sunday, before we can represent him well with our lives. With this in mind, we are called to be a mere reflection of the Father's love to others. And this kind of love has action. It is never passive. This love is genuine. It is never fake. And this love goes deep. It is never shallow. How did I meet KP? This is the story of how it began. It was early one morning that I hopped a ride on a number 39 bus that would take me to my destination. Typically, these buses allow only a few seconds for passengers to step aboard before they continue on. Once on the bus, you'd have to meander your way through the crowded bus. But on this particular morning, however, there were only a few people. This made it easier for me to spot a seat quickly, an open seat quickly. Perfect! I chose one open seat beside a young man who appeared to be in his lower 20s and whose teeth were already rotten because of the betel nut that he had been chewing for a very long time. And Wynn would know what that is. He was over there in Myanmar. He spoke English very well, or at least fairly well, and so this is where our friendship began. And just like so many people, so many of us, KP experienced a very rough life. And maybe for most of us here, we've been more sheltered, you know. But there have been, anyway, let me just keep on going here. He grew up a citizen under an oppressive government. He lost his father at a very young age. His mother lived far away in another state and encouraged him in his bad habits. He lived in a tiny shack with his grandmother, uncle and aunt, and younger sister, and rats and chickens too. He rode the bus 2 hours each day and worked 7 days a week with very little income. He kept his health at bay with pain and anxiety medications. He was an alcoholic, eating only scantily throughout the day. This was his life, fearful, hopeless. At only age 22, he didn't even have much to live for. And that's how I met him. So, what is significant about KP's story? Here are lessons KP taught me that is in direct correlation to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. Let's just read that together. Very, very familiar passage. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. KP was in search of something desperately missing in his life. If we will only admit We are all very needy people. We all desire love, forgiveness, acceptance, belonging, affirmation, blessing, satisfaction, security, and to be known. And I'm sure we could put more in there. Those are all very deep needs in our lives, every single one of us. These are all God-given desires. However, many of us, like KP, struggle to find our desires met in Jesus Christ alone. We may struggle with feelings of acceptance because we're always being excluded from the group. We might wonder if we've really been forgiven because of our past sins that haunt us. Or if we have a place of belonging, or wondering if we have a place of belonging because a family member abandoned us. Or perhaps we feel afraid because our country is too weak to fight outside forces. You know, we all have different feelings that we go through. And just touching a little bit on, And just touching a little bit on Leighton's message from last Sunday. Like the older son in the prodigal, the story of the prodigal son, like the older son, we may want to prove ourselves to be worthy of acceptance. So we'll do whatever it takes to gain affirmation and blessing. We might try really hard in our own strength to fight against a glaring sin in order to become pure and win victory over it. We may tend to distance ourselves from all close relationships in order to shield ourselves from further hurt. Perhaps we go on peaceful protests or marches to try to win our country back to the faith. All these things are feelings inside of us, and we, with our actions, we show, we try to prove ourselves. My brother and sister, you will always be striving after these things until you come to understand that your deepest needs and desires will only be met in the Heavenly Father's love and in Jesus Christ alone. So simple, and yet so profound. That's at the core of what we're all looking for. And this was desperately missing in KP's life. This is what was missing in my life too. And the longer I'm a Christian, the more I find myself needy and dependent on Father God's love for me. I find myself wanting that more and more. and I hope that's all of our desire. If there is one thing to take away from this morning's message, that is that Father God loves you. Father God loves you. Father God loves me. Every time I met with KP, this was my message to him. KP, Father God loves you. You are special in his sight. Really? I am? Yeah, you are. He has called you by name. He's saying, come, my child, come to me. That's God's, Father God's heart for you, KP. Point number two, KP felt love because of Father God's love at work in my life. It's what God was doing in my life that I could be that to him. It's not what I could bring to the relationship, it's what God was doing through me. Howard Hendricks says, and I love his quotes, you cannot impart what you do not possess. that is probably one of the quotes that stick out to me in my mind the most, and just really good to think on. It is because of Father God, it's because Father God loved me that I could genuinely love KP. If I had not experienced Father God's love in my life, then I would not have been able to communicate that love to KP. It is pleasing to God when we do this to others. This is love in action. Put on those shoes of love. to wear shoes in the Myanmar language is panet side. And literal translation of that would mean to ride shoes. So every time you put on shoes, you ride shoes. So ride those shoes of love. Beware. There are those who deliver a message of truth with great, it might be with great eloquence, it might be with flowery words, but sadly, lacks love and compassion. And this, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, is likened to sounding brass and tingling cymbal. And so maybe something similar to that, it might not be sounding brass or tingling cymbal, but for sure when I was younger, and maybe every now and then my wife might catch me doing it still, but just if I'm thinking, you know, like or tapping, you know, while I'm thinking, you know, or in school, when I was in homeschool, you know, I would often annoy my brothers and sisters, and I'm sorry for that. I regret doing that, but I would just, as I was thinking, I would often tap the table, and it's the kind of annoyance that just says, stop, would you? Just stop. So keep your message simple. There will come a time for deeper matters of the Christian faith later, but for now, keep it simple. First, they need to see the Father God's love displayed in your life. If they're sold on that, then they'll be more open to the truth. This should be the first step in discipleship. The next point here, KP felt love because I genuinely cared about his soul's condition. KP has a soul that is headed for destruction. He is in need of a savior. This is the crux of his dilemma. And my heart cries out for his repentance and salvation. And daily I pray and desire that for him. I can only share the Father's God's love with him and pray for him and leave the rest to the Holy Spirit's work in his heart. How would it look if I tried to change KP's heart condition in my own wisdom and not allow the Holy Spirit to be at work? How would that look? So let's just take a look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Let's take a look at, verse 2. So what would that look like if I tried to do it in my own wisdom? Prophecy without love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and then at the end of verse, it says, but without charity. So what is prophecy without love if I'd be trying to reach out to him? Well, the truth is, I might tell him there is coming a judgment, so that's a truth, but lacking love might say, cry out to Jesus for your life and you'll escape hell, you know. But where's the relationship? Understanding without love. The truth, you're only hurting yourself by the things you are doing. And that's true, he is. But what if it lacks love? What might I say? Just wake up to what it's costing you. How about pray for understanding? Knowledge without love. What might I tell him? Well, the truth is that you have sinned against God. Repent and turn to him. But lacking love, I might say, here's a Bible. Figure out what you must do. Hint, Romans 10, 9. Why not have a Bible study together? wouldn't that be better? Faith without love. What might I say? Well, the truth is, I believe you will come to an understanding of what Jesus has done for you and turn to him. I believe that's going to happen in your life. Lacking love might say, hey, hey, KP, I've forgotten to pray for you this past week, but I'll try to do better next week. Shouldn't hidden prayer life match faith? Again, Howard Hendricks says, you can impress from a distance, but you can only impact up close. And so you might have lots of knowledge, you might have the gift of prophecy, you might have faith, you know, but without love, without impact, without being up close, you cannot impact, is what Howard Hendricks here is saying. So number four, KP felt love by what I was willing to risk for him. So verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Showing the Father's love to another will cost us something. Maybe it's our time. Perhaps it's our resources. In the case with KP, it was my own safety. just a little story here. For a long time, KP had wanted me to visit his house. He knew there would, I knew there would be some risk in doing so because I would be visiting his place in the evening after work hours, and dangerous things would often happen at night if you weren't careful. So I knew there was a little bit of risk there. But I knew it was very important to him that I come to his house. What do you do? And so for his sake, one evening I decided to go. Needless to say, KP and one of his buddies got drunk, and it got late too while I was at their place. Finally, after dark, he agreed to leave. Long story short, he insisted on driving the motorbike, even though I advised him not to. Breathing a prayer of protection, I got on behind him, and his buddy got on behind me. So there was three of us sandwiched together, you know. At one point, he stopped the motorbike outside a beer joint and demanded that I give him and his buddy money for a drink. I got very stern with him and said that I am going home to my family and that I am not giving them money. He insisted, he became very angry with me and insisted that I give him money. And I returned with very strongly I said, I am going home. And And so he insisted that he drives me back home. On the way home, we were zigzagging all over the road. At one point, we crossed over into the opposite lane, and a few other times, I had to reach from behind and actually help him steer. Otherwise, he would have taken out somebody. There was one time where he would have taken somebody out. And so it was just bad. It was a bad situation. Otherwise, we would have crashed. This was exactly what I was afraid would happen, and it was happening. I was so grateful to the Lord that I made it home safely. I told my wife after I got home that it was definitely God's hand of protection that got me back. Most certainly not KP's driving. I prayed very fervently that night, and out loud too. They heard me praying. But the next day, you know, our relationship was all good again. I don't know if he even remembered. So this kind of love we've been talking about in 1 Corinthians 13 is, in the Greek, is agape love, as I believe Kermit was talking about. This is the kind of love that Jesus Christ demonstrated to us on the cross. This love comes to us from our Heavenly Father. This love is meant to be reflected to others. This is the principle of giving and receiving, as Matthew 10, verse 8 talks about. We receive the Father's love, and we give it away to others. We receive and we give. We receive and we give. We receive Father God's love to give Father God's love. We receive forgiveness to to show forgiveness to others. We receive Jesus' sacrifice in order to sacrifice for others. We receive Jesus' atonement for our sins so that we can show mercy to others. We accept that Jesus intercedes on our behalf so that we can intercede on others' behalf. And this is what Jesus demonstrated to us when he was here. His relationship with the Father, with his Father, and to his disciples. And what we are to display to others with our Heavenly Father's love. Then the Heavenly Father will say, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." As we're receiving and we're giving, receiving and giving, we're doing it as unto God. So I'd like to recapture that KP's story is significant because Father God showed his love to him first and gave his only precious son, Jesus Christ, as a ransom for his sin. It's already finished. It's complete. Paid in full. It's done. It's a done deal. Father God has already displayed his love to KP. The question remains, will KP accept his love? And here's a question for us. Have I experienced Father God's love in my life? First thing that we must come to understand is that he died on the cross for my sins. He took my punishment on himself on the cross, Romans 6:23. He forgives my sins when I call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9 and 13. And as was shared this morning, he gives his perfect peace. He's the Prince of Peace that gives his peace, and I can receive that his peace. And then he also in Romans 8:1. I no longer need to feel any condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. And so As we think on these things, Romans 8, 38, verses 38 through 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I'm not an expert on Romans like Keith is, but I do know this, that Father God's love for me and for you is really wonderful. It goes deep, it's genuine, and it's constant. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all been like KP in some way or other. Maybe that is where you find yourself. Maybe you've been there and have come through that. Where do you find yourself? We've been hurt and confused. We have feelings of anger and resentment toward God or another person. We're scared and afraid. We're trapped in some kind of sin or broken and shattered pieces of our lives, and we're wondering how it's all going to come back together again. We're guilty because of something we've done, said, or thought towards someone. It is even possible to have a great ministry and lack a love relationship with Father God. That's even possible. These are burdens in our lives. And I would just urge you to give it to Jesus. If those are burdens in your life, give those burdens to Jesus. That was my message to KP. That's my message to you. He loves you. He loves the poor in spirit, as Matthew 5 talks about. He loves those who are lowly and needy. He loves those people. He will accept you if you ask him. And as Jack Frost says, and I didn't put the quote in here, he says, "There is only one way you can come into your heavenly Father's house, and that is as an orphan." We are all at a needy place like that, in need of the Father's love. And as you think of a child who runs into daddy's arms, that's what Father God wants us to do with him. And I will tell you, I'm still learning this. It's something that KP has been teaching me. And to run to daddy father's arms, and just to be at rest and at peace in his arms. And if we're at that place, then those who are with us will experience that. John 14, verse 18 says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That's Father God. So to all the KPs here, I would like you to know that Father God loves you. Right here, I'm wearing a watch here. And this watch I bought from KP. He worked in a watch shop. And I told KP, I said, I'm going to buy a watch from you because I want it to be a reminder to me of a few things. So when I wear this watch, it's a reminder. I don't use it to necessarily keep track of time. It's more of a reminder to me. It's a reminder to redeem the time because the days are short. Everyone you meet desires a place of belonging in Father God's love. Is Father God, whenever I look at this, another reminder that I get is Father God's love flowing through me to others? And do I genuinely care for the souls of others? And then last of all, what am I willing to risk? What am I willing to risk or to give up to reach this person? And so that's it's just a reminder to us to redeem the time, to receive Father God's love and to give it. And I know we're all at different places. I understand. And some of us are wondering where is God in our situation, and others, have really come through a lot and are looking back and saying, wow, Father God's love just took me through that. So we're all at different places, but we should all be continually growing in the Father God's love. His love is so vast, we can't comprehend it. So we're always growing in it. So with that, I would just like to close with a word of prayer, and then I'll just turn the time back to, who should I turn the time back to? To Dad? Okay, I'll turn the time back to Dad then. Father God, we thank you so much for your word of love to us. Father, thank you that you first loved us, and because of that, Lord, we can be a blessing to others. Father, I realize that for KP and all the KPs in our midst, Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would just touch them right now, right in the place where they're at, Lord. Whatever situation they're going through, struggle they're facing, temptation, God, just meet them there. And I just pray that you would touch them with your love. Wrap them in your arms. Help them, Lord, to feel comfortable with love. If they don't know, help them, Lord, to come to that place. Draw them with your Spirit, Lord. Draw us all with your Spirit, Lord. Help us to grow deeper in your love. And if there is anyone here who does not know you, Jesus, I pray that you would help them to come to salvation in Jesus Christ alone today. We just trust that to you, Lord. Just help us to be faithful in interceding in prayer and genuinely loving others. All the KPs around us, Lord, and that the Father's love would be at work in our lives, Father. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.